بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. السلام الله عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I pray that you're all well. ما شاء الله. It's so nice to be gathered with all of you today on Sunday, in which we're going to be studying the life of the Messenger of God Muhammad صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله. And our goal with this series, بإذن الله تعالى, for all those that have joined us, is to be a community, a family across the world that is growing in ta'zeem, in our honor, in our love, in our connection to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi. So feel free to keep your cameras on. You can turn them off. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to be taking this journey together for some time. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connects us through that which He loves, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And anything that connects to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi, by its nature, is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And there is nothing in this world that will help grow an individual's faith, their iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their reverence for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their desire to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more than studying the life of the Messenger of God Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi as a guide, not just for the Muslims. He sent him as a guide sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi for all of humanity. And he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, when he was speaking about himself, he says, innama ana rahmatun muhdat, that verily I am a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted to you. Everything connected to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, everything emanating from the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, is a mercy because it draws us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we draw closer to the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one that fashioned us, the one that sustains us, the one that takes care of us subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the one that we want to see in Jannah. So the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, being connected to him mentally, physically, emotionally, is a connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi is always in a good state as long as we're connected to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. And when there's a discrepancy in that connection, when we're not as in love with him alayhi salam as we should be, when we're not as connected to his sunnah alayhi salatu wasalam as we should be, when we don't prioritize everything that he made a priority in life, I'm losing some of my language here this morning, prioritized in life, then we have some challenges that are going to come. And we don't know how to deal with those challenges. And those challenges can be overwhelming. And that anxiety can overwhelm us. And so the life of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi is a channel for each one of us to prioritize our spiritual and intellectual and mental well-being. So we're going to take this journey, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, together, and I'm seeing, mashallah, many of you have already signed on. Before we start, if I could just ask everyone to type, if you're able to type in the channels, where you're signing up from, so we just know where this community is being built. Mashallah, we have a lot of people that are already here with us. We have people, mashallah, in Maryland. We have people in Michigan. Just type in there so we see, coming from Texas, mashallah, from South Africa, and from all around. And you see, I want you to be able to see that this is the community, inshallah, that's gathering bi mahabbatin Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. So before I start, I want to speak, of course, about what's happening in Palestine and what's happening in Gaza. And for those of you that know me, my family is Palestinian. We come from the West Bank originally, and I know many of us are filled with anxiety and pain as we're seeing everything that's happening in the world, and we feel like we have no capabilities to do anything about it. We feel ajiz, and we get depressed, and that depression, that emotional anxiety overwhelms us. And even in some of our communities here in the States, I'm sure it's happening across the world, we're going through some trials and tribulations that are directly connected to that. The Messenger of God, Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, told us something that we all need to live by. He taught us, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, that the Muslim body, whether it's in Palestine, whether it's in South Africa, whether it's in the United States, no matter where you are, you're like one body. If one part of that body hurts, the rest of it should hurt. So when I'm seeing my brothers and sisters in Palestine, in Afghanistan, in Dagestan, in Chechnya, in Iraq, in Pakistan, in Maryland, in California, anywhere across the world, if I see anyone from the community of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi in any pain, then I need to be feeling pain. It needs to hurt me because it's a sign of our iman. And if I don't care about it, it means that there's something intrinsically within me that I need to right. It means that my spiritual state, based on what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi want for me, is not where it should be. It means that something in my heart needs to be adjusted. As long as we recognize that and we work on it, then alhamdulillah, as we're going to see in the series of the seerah, and in particular the life of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu arda, his life was a constant transformation. We're going to see that he was at one point a man who used to persecute the companions, and he wanted to kill the Messenger of God, Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. And then he went through this amazing transformation, and he now is buried in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, right next to Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and right next to our Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. So the story of Sayyidina Umar, why we want to go through it from this lens, is so important, because it's a story of transformation. Each one of us has the ability to transform, but we can't transform until we look in and see what's wrong with me inside. So if I'm not hurt based on what's happening to the Muslim community across the world, if it's not impacting me, then it's a sign that something needs to change in my heart. And alhamdulillah, we're going to do that collectively as a community across the world as we live, inshallah, to love the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and embody his sunnah. Now, there's a very interesting connection between the Messenger of God, Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, and Gaza. As we're seeing now what's happening in Gaza, we have a force of oppressors that are wreaking havoc upon a body of helpless people that have been in an open-air prison for 70-plus years of their lives. As I told you before, my family comes from Palestine. My mother was a young child in 1948. Actually, she was a newborn baby at that time. And my father was 13 years old, living in the West Bank with a family who were farmers. And just to give you an idea about the background that the Palestinian people had gone through, my mother tells me a story herself that when the forces came in, the Zionist armies, to take over all the land in Palestine, my mother being a newborn at the time, people were so scared. And there was so much havoc going on that my grandmother, my mother's mother, rushed out of the house, took all the children, and she forgot my mother in her crib because of how fearful they were of losing their lives at the time as they were rushing off to cross into Jordan. My mother's uncle said, "Where's Sukaina?" My mother's name is Sukaina. He looked to his sister. He said, "Where's Sukaina?" She said, "Oh my goodness, out of fear, I left her at home." Now, if you're a mom, think about that. What sort of fear has to be in a mother's heart to the extent that she would rush out of her home, leaving her own child there? There's nothing that a mother cares about more than her own children. She would give everything that she has for the health of those kids. But out of that much fear of what was happening, my grandmother ran out of the home. My uncle went back, and he got my mother, and they continued, and they moved on into Jordan. And so we're all seeing these scenes, and our hearts are broken. And actually, this series was supposed to start last week, but we did a special prayer last week for the people of Gaza. What can we do as a body of community of believers across the world? There's two things I want to concentrate on. Number one, a dua, a dua, a dua. Never give up praying for the people of Palestine and praying for all of your Muslim brothers and sisters who are going through any pain and suffering. As we're going to see in the life of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, they went through some of the most tremendous and difficult situations in Mecca al-Mukarramah. So many years of torture, so many years of insults, so many years of indiscriminate killing. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi during that whole time was constantly telling his community to be in salah, be in prayer, be in the dhikr of Allah, and to constantly turn to Allah in supplication. And Allah tells us that in Al-Quran Al-Kareem. He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا. Be patient. Force yourselves to be patient. Force yourselves to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua. If I'm watching what's happening in Palestine and everywhere across the Muslim ummah, and it's just causing me to have anxiety without any spiritual action, I need to change that right now. I need to increase my prayers. I need to increase my recitation of Al-Quran Al-Kareem. I need to increase my prayers upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through all of that to give them refuge. Because that's what the Palestinian people are asking for. They're asking for you and I to make dua for them. So let's ensure that we're constantly in that state. Number two, if there is a march in the streets in your city, if there are people that are out there contacting your congressmen and congresswomen to make this issue front and center, do it. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi always took physical action that was framed in a spiritual ethos. Don't just say, this is not going to change anything, I'm just going to sit here in my house. No, we don't want to teach our children that spirit. We want to teach our children that number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that can change the whole world in a millisecond. إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُنْ. Allah, if He wants something, He says be, and it is. So we always supplicate to Him. We always turn to Him in humility. And then our job is to take the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in terms of trying to change things with our hand. So contact your congressman. If your superintendents in your schools, your kids' schools, I know many of you have been reaching out saying the superintendents and the mayors have been sending one-sided messages, respond to them. Get together with your local Muslim communities and say, no, how could you alienate a whole population here in the United States and only look at the pain and suffering of one side? Put that pressure upon them. You and I have that ability to do it, and we have to do it. So let's ensure that we're all doing that, inshallah, as a collective together, as we're turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this state, and we're asking Allah, we're begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives faraj, ease to the people of Palestine, and He gives ease and faraj to the people of Gaza. Now, what's the connection of the Messenger of God, Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, to the people of Gaza? The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi's great-grandfather, his name was Hashim ibn Abdi Manaf. And we're going to, inshallah, share with everyone later this week some notes about everything that I'm covering. Sayyidina Hashim ibn Abdul Manaf was the great-grandfather of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. The father of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, his name was what? Does anyone know? Can you type in? I know you know. You must know. I see your lips moving. His name was? Type it in the messaging. His name was Sayyidina Abdullah, right? Sayyidina Abdullah. And Sayyidina Abdullah's father was? Who was his father? Do we know? The grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi? Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib, right? Abdul Muttalib, whose real name was Shaybatul Hamd. He's known as Abdul Muttalib, but his real name is Shaybah. Now, Abdul Muttalib's father, his name was Hashim. So Hashim is the great-grandfather of our messenger, Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. Now, Hashim was a leader of Quraysh. He was a handsome man. He was a revered man. He was an honorable man. Of course, our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi comes from the greatest of all lineages. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Hashim a man of great reverence around people. Now, Hashim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually revealed ayat of the Quran about things that Hashim started. Now, during the Arab times, the main trade routes for business were through Yemen and through Palestine and Syria, Sham. And that was started by Hashim, the great-grandfather of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. In the winter time, Hashim used to travel with caravans down to Yemen, purchase lots of goods that used to come into the Yemeni area, and then he would continue back through the Arabian Peninsula, through Mecca al-Mukarrama, Medina al-Munawwara, and continue on a trip to the Palestine and the Syria region, in particular to Gaza. And he would sell a lot of those goods that he picked up from Yemen to that region. And this became one of the major economic resources for the people of Arabia. And so Hashim, the great-grandfather of the Messenger of God, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, was a very wealthy man. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed ayat, you all know it, li'ila fi Quraysh, you all know this surah, ila fihim, rihlat ash-shita'i, I'm watching your lips as you're all moving, was-sayf, فَلْيَعْبُدُ رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. You all know this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by this trade route because it was so important to the people of the Arabian Peninsula. So he says, secure in their trading caravan in winter and in summer. The winter trip, we said, was to Yemen, and the summer trip was to Palestine and the Syria region, a region known now as Sham. And that was Hashim. And we said Hashim was the great-grandfather of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. Now, Hashim dies at the age of 33. And where does he die? He dies in Gaza. He dies in Gaza, Palestine, the area that we see now besieged by tyrant forces. And so there's a masjid in Gaza called Masjid Sayyid Hashim. And if you were to visit, of course now, with the difficulties, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them faraj, we can't even contemplate that. But before this crazy slaughter that's happening now, you would be able to go to Gaza, and you would visit the Masjid of Sayyid Hashim, and there's a burial place there for the great-grandfather of the Messenger of God, Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa'ala ali. Now, historically, many of the great ulama and many of the great awliya and many of the hujjaj that would travel from Muslim lands would, of course, stop in Palestine, pray at Masjid al-Aqsa, take the barakah of there, visit Sayyidina Ibrahim and al-Khalil, and they would also go and stop and pay their respects at the location of the burial place of the great-grandfather of the Messenger of God, Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa'ala ali. And we all collectively pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees that land from all oppressors and allows us all to go and be there, ya Rabbi, ya Kareem, as a collective community that loves Allah and loves His Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. Everyone say ameen. Did you say ameen? Okay, you better have said ameen to that. I want to make sure that we're all saying ameen together as we're taking this journey of love to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. Now we're going to continue. I asked everyone to watch the first episode of the Sayyidina Umar series. And I know the first episode starts a little bit slow, but then at the end, it really starts to heat up and a lot of the beautiful story starts to come out. But there's something I want to concentrate on here and I want to go over with you. And that's the central role of the Messenger of God, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, to the lives of all of the companions. It wasn't just his sunnah. Following the sunnah of the Messenger of God, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, is something that we all must do. Following the sunnah of the Messenger of God, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, it's like a barometer. It shows us how much real love we have for the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, because we could all claim that we love him. Everyone claims that they love him. But if you really love the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, we act the way that he acted. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say to them, O Muhammad, that if you're true in loving Allah, then have ittiba' of me, Allah will love you. Ittiba' here, this following, means that physically, spiritually, intellectually, and emotionally, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi is the standard of our lives. Not just the way we dress, but the way that we feel inside our hearts, the way that we speak, the way that we assess, the way that we interact with everyone. We have to take on his moral compass, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, as our moral compass. Now the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim, they had the physical being of the Messenger of God, Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. He was around them. Now can you imagine this? I want us to think about this for a moment. You're one of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, and you're living in al-Madinah al-Munawwara, and you're having a really rough day. What would you do? If I was there, I would walk into the masjid, look at the Messenger of God sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, just looking at him. And can you imagine what looking at the Messenger of God sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi would do to our hearts? I would just be in his presence. I would not even want to speak. I would just want to be around him sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, because through him, I would feel security. Imagine the divine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is communicating with the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. Allah tells us in the Quran, وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ. Can you imagine this? Obey God and obey the messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi as the gateway to the divine. And the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim, they had access to him on a daily basis. Think about that for one moment. How does that make you feel? I mean, type it in. I want to hear back from you. I know we're going through a lecture here, but we're here taking this journey together. Wallahi, I learned from how you feel. How would you feel if you could just walk into the mosque of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and see him? Would you feel that's priceless? Absolutely, it's priceless. You know, it's to the extent, there was a Sahabi by the name of Hanzala. You'd be amazed. You jealous of them? Yeah, absolutely. I would be jealous of them too. I am jealous of them. But I'm going to share something with you that's going to make them, that made the companions jealous of us. We wish you were there with him. Contentment, right? Peace, serenity. Worries melting away. This is the only thing I would do all the time. Yeah, wallahi, it is. There was a Sahabi by the name of Hanzala. And Hanzala, he loved the Messenger of God sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi so much. Yani, he was also a servant of the Messenger of God sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. And he would come and he would pray with the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi every day in the masjid. And this shows you how much care the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had for his community. A few days go by and Hanzala is nowhere to be seen. Imagine this, a few days go by and Hanzala, he's not showing up to the mosque. Now the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, after Salat al-Fajr, he would turn around and he would look and see who from his companions was there and wasn't there. And if someone was missing, he would say, I haven't seen so-and-so. Is he okay? I haven't seen so-and-so. Is she okay? Is there a problem? Is there something that we can do to help her? Even one time, look at the humility of the Messenger of God sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. He says this one time when he didn't see one of his companions. He said, did I do anything to harm him and therefore he's not coming to the mosque? Look at that. Can you imagine the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi ever harming anyone? Those that are watching, can you imagine that? He would never harm. But out of his utter humility, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, he says, did I do something? Did I do something that's causing that person not to come? I mean, this is why we're studying. We're going to take this journey of studying the life of the Messenger of God, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, because when we fall in love with him, alayhi salam, and when we learn about him, oh, ya Allah, we realize the gift you've given us, ya Allah. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And Allah says, I've shown you my favor by giving you this prophet. Wallahi, ya Allah, we thank you for Muhammad Rasulullah. So Hanzala, he's not showing up for a few days. So the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi goes to his home to visit him. He says, Ya Hanzala, I haven't seen you for a few days. Are you okay? And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi finds Hanzala in like a disheveled state and an anxiety-ridden state. And Hanzala says, Oh, Messenger of God, I love you so much. Oh, Messenger of God, I love you so much. And I was thinking about the hereafter. And I was thinking that you are the most beloved creation to Allah. And you will be in the highest levels of paradise. And if Allah puts me elsewhere, puts me in punishment, how can I be patient with not seeing you every day? And that paralyzed me. And I couldn't leave my home. Did you guys all hear that? Is Hanzala thinking about the adab, the punishment of Jahannam? Is Hanzala thinking about the food of Jannah? Is he thinking about like swimming in oceans of Jannah and riding on the back of whales and riding on tigers and lions and doing all of this fun stuff that we all want to do in life or flying in the air like Superman? What's the thing that has him depressed and sad is that he wouldn't be in the company of who? Of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi in Jannah. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi says, Ya Hanzala, al-mar'u ma'man ahab. Ya Hanzala, on that day, you're going to be with the one that you love. And al-Madina al-Munawwara becomes illuminated with happiness when they heard that from the Messenger of God sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. Why? Because they all love the Messenger of God sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. Can I ask you all a question? Do you love our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi? Do you love him, Sayyidina al-Nabi? Allah, it's a question. Do you love Sayyidina al-Nabi? How much do you love Sayyidina al-Nabi? Wallahi, wallahi. If we don't love Sayyidina al-Nabi, let me tell you this right now. We need to train ourselves to love Sayyidina al-Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, because the love of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, it makes all difficult things easy. Sayyidina Hanzala, he folded time and space for us. The quickest way into the highest level of Jannah is through the door of what? The door of mahabbatun Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Love. That's why this deen, our deen, is a religion of love. We love. We love for our brother what we love for ourselves. We love for the world khair, and we love Allah and we love his messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi. So Sayyidina Hanzala, he folds time and space for us by teaching us the path of love. And I want to share with you another narration of a similar man, a Arab who comes from the deserts of Arabia. And he comes to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi, and he asks him a very interesting question. He says, O Messenger of God, and this is narrated by Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu wa arda. Is everyone following? Is everyone okay? I need to check in on you because I'm not seeing you here on the screen. I just want to make sure you're all okay. Just give me a, yes, we're okay. Alhamdulillah, we can continue. It's already 12:30 and I haven't even begun to touch all of the subjects that I want to touch, but I'm going to tell you why this love of the Messenger of God sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi is so important to our lives. You're all okay? Okay, I can continue. With your permission, we keep going. We're here as a family. This is one big happy family across the world. So we're going to continue in this path of Mahabbatun Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu wa arda comes. Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik, and you know who Sayyidina Anas was. He came to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi in al-Madina al-Munawwara. He was a young boy. Sayyidina Anas's mother says that when the Prophet alayhi sallam entered al-Madina al-Munawwara, everyone was giving the Prophet gifts. I'm a poor woman. I had nothing to give. So what did I gift him? I gifted him my son. Anas ibn Malik. Look at this woman. I came and I gave him my son. And I said, O Messenger of God, my son is a servant for you. And so Sayyidina Anas, he grew up being in the service of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. And he was a lover of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And he says, I was in khidmah. I was in service of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And anytime I did something wrong, he never scolded me. He never said to me, why did you do this? Why didn't you do that? We all know, those of us here that have teenage kids or even 9-year-old kids or 5-year-old kids in our home, and those who are yet to be married, may Allah get you married, inshallah, and you taste this. When our kids do something wrong in life, what do we say to them? Oh, we go off, we get upset. But the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi was never like that. And so Sayyidina Anas says, a desert Arab Bedouin came to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi, and he asked him a question. He says, Mata sa'a? O Messenger of God, when is the last hour? When is the day of judgment? And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi, he looks at him and he says, Mada a'adatta laha? He didn't answer his question. He answers his question with another question. He said, you're asking me when is the last day? Let me ask you a question. What have you prepared for it? And this desert Arab, he says, listen to this. La shay. Nothing. I've done nothing. O Messenger of God, I've prepared and done nothing. Illa, except anni uhibbu Allah wa rasulahu. Except I love Allah and I love His Messenger. I love His Prophet. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi responds to him and he says the same thing that he said to Hanbala, al-mar'u ma' man ahab. On that day, you will be with the one that you love. The companions were in love with the Messenger of God sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. He was central to their existence, not just his sunnah. His being was central to their emotional, spiritual, and physical health. I'm going to share with you one more story about the love of the Messenger of God, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala ali, and the companions. And as I mentioned, inshallah, throughout this week, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to share all of these narrations with you. We'll send something, inshallah, throughout this week through the Al Medina channels. That's why make sure that you look at the emails that we're sending out. Make sure they're not going to your spam filter, inshallah. All of these narrations, all of these ayat will be there. Imam al-Tabarani. Have you heard of Imam al-Tabarani? We don't have much time to go into who Imam al-Tabarani was, but Imam al-Tabarani, he narrates a very amazing and beautiful story that happened during the time of the Prophet alayhi salam in al-Madinah al-Munawwara. And a companion by the name of Sayyidina Ka'b, he says, we were sitting in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi, the Ansar, the Muhajireen, and Banu Hashim, meaning those that migrated from Mecca al-Mukarramah to where? To Medina al-Munawwara. They're known as what? A Muhajir, Hajara. Those are the ones that we're going to see through the series of Sayyidina Umar, that Hajaru, they did the Hijrah from Mecca al-Mukarramah to Medina al-Munawwara. The likes of Sayyidina Umar, the likes of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, the likes of Sayyidina Uthman, the likes of Sayyidina Ali, and we're going to get into that. A group of them were sitting. And the Ansar, the people from Al-Madinah, those who took in the Messenger of God, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi, they were sitting as well. And Banu Hashim, the family of the Prophet, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi. He said, we were all sitting in the masjid of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and we started to argue amongst ourselves. And you know what their argument was about? Which one of us does the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi love more? Yani, are you guys seeing what the companions were like? I need to see your heads nodding if there are some cameras that are on, that I need to see that you're seeing and you're understanding the centrality of who the Prophet ﷺ was in their life. This is a majlis of love. They're fighting over who loves the Prophet more. And the Ansar, they say, look, we fought with the Prophet ﷺ against his enemy. And we sheltered the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi. And he moved to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara and he lives here with us. So we love him more than you do and he loves us more than you do. It's a good argument. Would you guys all say it's a good argument? I think it's a good argument. They say, hey, we put this there, mashallah. The Muhajireen, those that migrated, they say, what are you talking about? They're like, listen, we were there in Mecca al-Mukarramah during the most difficult of days, during the most difficult of years. We defended the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. We were tortured out of love of him alayhi salatu wasalam. We migrated with him and we fought in all the battles that you fought in. So we love him more and he loves us more. Allah, that's a good rebuttal. I think that's a very good rebuttal. And Banu Hashim, the family of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi, they say, oh, really? You guys did all that? Well, guess what? We did all of that and we're from the same family. So we love him more and he loves us more. Who won this argument? What do you all say? Who do you think won this argument? Jonas, I see you on camera. You can type. Jonas, who do you think won this argument? If you were the one who was going to be the judge amongst them, who won this? Oh, we say some are saying the Ansar. What is Jonas saying? I want to see what you say. Banu Hashim? Huh? Type in. Everyone? Okay, good point. Could be everyone. The Muhajirin? You say the Muhajirin one, huh? Muhammad Kamran says the Muhajirin one. Say, oh, you say Abu Bakr. Jonas, I didn't see what you wrote, but you probably wrote something. Oh, you wrote, I don't know. Ah, okay, see? Subhanallah. May Allah bless you for that answer. Yeah, because it's a tough one to adjudicate. And so the Messenger of God, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, enters the masjid and he sees them, Jonas. And I'm going to tell you why your answer is the best of answers, Jonas. He sees them all and he says, what are you guys sitting here doing? And they say, well, oh, Prophet of God, we're arguing which one of us loves you more and who do you love more? And he said, okay, give me all of you your proofs. So each one of them says what they say. And the Prophet, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, says, would you like me to judge amongst you? Look at the beauty of our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And they say, yes, O Messenger of God, we want that. And this is what he says. Amma antum ya ma'ashara al-ansar. As to you, ya ansar, fa innama ana akhukum. Allah. Fa innama ana akhukum. O ansar, I'm your brother. And the ansar, when they heard this, they very loudly said, Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Dhahabna bihi wa rabb al-Ka'bah! Allahu Akbar! We got him! He's ours by the Lord of the Ka'bah! They were so happy that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi expressed that about them. And he says then, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, to the migrants, the migrants. Amma antum ya ma'ashara al-muhajirin, fa innama ana minkum. He says, as to you, those that did the hijrah, I am from you. They heard this and their response was, Allahu Akbar, dhahabna bihi wa rabb al-Ka'bah. We got him by the Lord of the Kaaba, he's ours. And then the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, our Prophet turns to Banu Hashim, his own family. And he says to them, فَأَنْتُمْ مِنِّي وَإِلَيَّ. He says, as to you, ya Bani Hashim, you are from me and to me. And what was Banu Hashim's response? What does everyone think the response was? ذَهَبْنَا بِهِ وَرَبَّ الْكَعْبَةِ. We got him by the Lord of the Kaaba. And they all said that we all left that gathering feeling as if the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi loved us all the most. So you see that the Messenger of God sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi was so connected to his companions. But he wasn't just connected to them. Let me start now to explain to you his connection to us. We have about 20 minutes left, and this is from the most important foundations that we have to understand as we're studying his life, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. And I want to share with you a narration that happened with Sayyida Aisha. Excuse me, this happened, yarwihi al-Imam Ahmad. They were sitting with the Messenger of God, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, one day, some of the companions, and of them was Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. You're going to hear this name. He is one of the 10 that were promised Jannah as we enter into more of the series of the Sayyidina Umar series, and we see some of these beautiful, blessed characters coming up. We're going to spend some time looking into them and seeing who they were. Just so you know who this man was, he was one of the early converts to Islam. He was beloved to the Messenger of God, Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. He fought with him in all battles, and he was of the 10 that were promised Jannah. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. So if you've been to the Masjid of the Prophet in al-Madinah, can I just have you type here how many of you have been to al-Madinah al-Munawwara, just so I can see, because there's going to be some references to that. If I'm watching you, yes, you've been to, okay. So when you enter the Masjid of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, you have the expansion area. As you enter the expansion area, you see the original mosque of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, and you see in a calligraphy format the name of Allah, the name of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Then you look around, it's the names of the 10 people that were promised paradise, along with the names of Al Bayt al-Nubuwa, the family of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So Abu Ubaidah, this man that I'm telling you about that was sitting eating dinner with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he's one of those names that are there. And he says to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, kama yarwihi al-Imam Ahmad, he says, O Messenger of God, is there anyone better than us, meaning your companions that are here? We fought with you, we defended you, we went through life with you. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, he says, na'am, yes, qawmun yakoonuna min ba'dikum yu'minuna bi wa lam yarawni. Subhanallah. He says, Abu Ubaidah, he's saying, oh, Messenger of God, is there anyone better than us? He says, yes. Yes, there are. There are people. They're going to come after you. They're going to come after me. They haven't seen me, and they believe in me. Are we people that came after the Messenger of God, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi? Do we believe in him, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi? So you already see now, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he has his attention on you and I. He has his attention on you and I. And it's narrated that the Messenger of God, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, he once enters al-Baqi', the resting place of the Muslims in al-Madinah al-Munawwara, and he gives salam to all those that have passed away, and he says, ashtaqu ila ikhwati, I miss my brothers and my sisters. And the Sahaba, confused, they say, O Messenger of God, are we your brothers? He says, La antum ashabi, you are my companions. My brothers and sisters, this is in a general sense, are those that are going to come after me. They believe in me and they haven't seen me. And in some narrations, they would give everything that they have just to see me once. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi is turning his spiritual, his intellectual, his physical energies to you and I. Do you see how special that is? Do you see how generous he is, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi? That he's thinking of you and I coming after him. Don't ever think that there's a disconnect between us and the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. There's a connection. He, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, put that connection between us. He's just waiting for us to get our antennas and our frequencies in the right place so we can be connected with him. Does this make you feel special? Answer, just right. When you hear this about the Messenger of God, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, saying these things about you and I, does it make you feel special? Better be like a resounding yes. You better be saying in your home, I love you, Ya Rasulullah. I love you, O Messenger of God. Now, I want to continue to show about his care for us as we're going to enter into the first episode of Sayyidina Umar. Hadith on Sayyidina Aisha. I'm going to, again, these will all be sent to you in English and in Arabic. And just because of time, I'm not going to read the full Arabic narration, or I may read it at times partially. Now, Sayyidina Aisha, for all of us who, of course, know her, who was she? Type in real quick. Who was Sayyidina Aisha? What was her relationship to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi? Type it in the box. Type it in the box. Quick, 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 quick. She was the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes. And Sayyidina Aisha, her father was who? Type it in. Quick. Who says it? Same person. Sumayya Rashid, she got it. Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu wa arda, this special, special woman. She says, when I used to see from the Messenger of God sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi that he was relaxed, and I used to see an opening. Meaning what? The Prophet alayhi sallam was receiving revelation. People were trying to kill him. People were coming to him every day. This one wants this. This one wants that. He's in salah. He's in dhikr, political meetings. Oh, constantly the life of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi was constantly moving. It was constantly things happening. And as Sayyidina Aisha, when the Prophet alayhi sallam used to enter the home, she never wanted to bother him. But she said, when I saw an opportunity at one point, I asked him a question. What do you think that question was? Was that question, oh, Messenger of God, can we buy a new house? Oh, Messenger of God, can I get a new Tesla or a new Camel at the time? Oh, Messenger of God, can I, remodel the kitchen? That wasn't what she asked him. You know what she asked him? She says, oh, Messenger of God, ادعو الله لي. Supplicate to Allah on my behalf. And he, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, said this. Subhanallah. Allahumma اغفر لعائشة ما تقدم من ذنبها وما تأخر وما أسرت وما أعلنت. Look at this beautiful prayer of our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. He says, Ya Allah, forgive Aisha from her sins, that which she has done secretly, and that which she has done openly, and that which she's done in the past, and that which she's done in the future. Sayyidina Aisha says, I became so happy that I started laughing until my head went down into my lap. She was overjoyed when she heard that from the Messenger of God, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he says this to her. He says, Aya surruki du'a'i ya Aisha? He says, oh Aisha, is this a du'a that I'm making for you? Does it make you happy? She said, wa mali la yasurruni du'a'uka ya Rasulullah. Oh, Messenger of God, how could your du'a not make me happy? And listen to what our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi says to her. He says, wallahi, by Allah, إنها لدعائي لأمتي في كل صلاة. By Allah, ya Aisha, this is my dua for my ummah in every single prayer. Our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi was making dua for us constantly. He misses us. He's thinking of us. His attention is on us. Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Are these too many narrations for you? How's everyone feeling? Are these too much? Or we can get right into the beginning of the first episode of Sayyidina Umar at Revelation. And I have a background that I have to do about Sayyidina Umar with you. But we have to understand the central role of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, his being in the life of the companions. We have to understand the central role that we had, you and I, living here in what year is it, 2023, in whatever country you and I are in, whatever state, what central role we had in the life of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, and we need to realize the central role that the Prophet, sallallahu ta'ala, alayhi wa ala alihi, has in our lives. If we don't understand that, then we will not benefit moving forward. We will not be able to survive in these crazy times that we're in when there's constantly something happening. We need to be a community that loves, reveres, and follows the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi in everything that we do. I want to share with you this narration, and I've been to this place during the Battle of the Trench. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi spent 3 nights and 4 days in a mountainous region overlooking where the trench was built. And we're going to talk about that, where the trench was dug in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. And I physically have been there. there's a small area called Ghar or Kahf Bani Haram. Bani Haram was one of the tribes of Al-Madina, Al-Munawwara, and the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi spent 3 nights sleeping there in this particular area. I've been there, I've laid there, I've prayed there, and inshallah, if we all visit Al-Madina, Al-Munawwara together, we go visit there, inshallah, together, and we pray there, say Ameen, that we all go to visit there together, Ya Rabbi, Ya Kareem. Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he says, one day I was in Al-Madina Al-Munawwara and I'm looking all over for the Messenger of God sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi, and I couldn't find him and I started to get worried until someone told me that he's in that area. The area that's called, as we mentioned, Kahf or Ghar Bani Haram. It's also known as Masjid As-Sajda, the Masjid of the Sujood of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi. So Sayyidina Mu'adh, he says, I went there and I found the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala ali in sujood. And I waited. And I waited so long that I felt that he returned to Allah's rahmah. And then finally the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala ali got up out of sujood. And he says, what's going on, ya Mu'adh? And Mu'adh said, oh Messenger of God, I thought that you had returned to Allah. Why were you in such a long sujood? And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi says, I was here and Jibreel came to me. Does everyone know who Jibreel is, of course? Hamilul Wahi, the one who reveals to all the prophets. We have, mashallah, a big group here, but we'll go over these things. Sayyidina Jibreel is the companion. He's also a sahib. And we're going to get into this in this series. He's a companion of the Messenger of God sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. Sayyidina Jibreel loves the Messenger of God sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. One of the greatest, if not... Let me rephrase that. The greatest honor of Sayyidina Jibreel's existence was to bring the Risala to Muhammad ibn Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam. Greatest honor of his existence. Jibreel came to me and he says to me, oh Muhammad, do you know what Allah will do with your ummah? And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi responds to him. He says, Allahu a'lam, only Allah knows. And Sayyidina Jibreel says, Allah sent me to tell you that Allah will never disgrace you in your ummah. And so the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi went into sujood, a very long sujood. I want to share with you one more narration in regards to this. One day, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, as the companions tell us, he recited the ayat of Al-Quran Al-Kareem, in which Sayyidina Ibrahim says, Rabbi, innahunna adlanna kathiran minan nas, faman tabi'ani fa innahu minni, wa man asani fa innaka ghafurur rahim. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, during the time of his da'wah, he was having trouble and the non-believers were leading so many people astray. And he says, Ya Allah, they're leading people astray. Faman tabi'ani fa innahu minni. Whoever follows me, he's from me. And whomever asani, whomever disobeys, Ya Allah, you're so often forgiving and merciful. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi read that ayah. And then the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi read this ayah. He says, Ya Allah, qala Isa alayhi salam, in tu'adhibhum fa innahum ibaduka, wa in taghfir lahum fa innaka antal azizul hakim. This is Jesus, peace be upon him, on the day of judgment, when God asks him, oh Jesus, did you tell people to take you as a God? And he says, absolutely not, Ya Allah, I did not do that, as the Quran mentions. And Sayyidina Isa, Jesus says to God on that day, in tu'adhibhum fa innahum ibaduka. Ya Allah, if you punish them, they are your servants. You can do with them what you will, but if you forgive them, you are filled with wisdom and izzah. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi read these two verses of the Quran, thumma rafa'a yadayhi, and then he puts his hands up like this, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, and he says, Ya Allah, ummati, ummati, and he starts to cry, saying, oh Ya Allah, my nation, my nation, my ummah, my ummah. He's talking about you and I. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Jibreel, go to Muhammad and see what is causing him to cry. And Allah knows. And Sayyidina Jibreel comes And he says, Ya Muhammad, Allah has sent me to you. He saw your tears. Why are you crying? And he says, my nation, ummati, ummati. And Sayyidina Jibreel says to him, Allah sent me to tell you that I will make you happy and never disgrace you in this ummah. This is the narration of Imam Ahmad about the concern of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi for you and I. My brothers and sisters, he loved us. He cared about us. He turns his attention to us. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ There has come amongst you, to you, a prophet. He is from you. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ It hurts the messenger. This is Quran. To see you go through any difficulties. He's covetous over you. He cares about you. He doesn't want you and I to be hurt. His concern is you and I. And so he's making dua for us, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi. I just got this message. They told me 5 minutes are left. Allah. Okay, we'll finish up in these 5 minutes, inshallah. But we're going to just establish this point. He's making dua for us. He's caring for us. He's worried about us. Why all this concern? Because he knew what was going to come. He, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi, he knew all the challenges that you and I are going to go through. And so he's constantly supplicating to Allah on our behalf. I'm going to share with you two narrations and we're going to close here. And then next week, inshallah, we're going to get into everything that we need to get into from what we saw from episode 1 and what we'll watch from episode 2. Sayyidina Hudhaifa, have you heard of this messenger of God? Have you heard of this companion, everyone? Type in yes. Hudhaifa, does anyone know what his full name is? Hudhaifa ibnul? Huh? We're going to go over all this, inshallah. Sayyidina Hudhaifa, he was the one who used to be known for holding the secrets. Yes, I saw that. The last name Khan, Rayyan Khan, mashallah, you got it. Absolutely, yes. Sister Hadil, you got it. And Atiyah Khan, you got it. Listen, I'm going to pick on all of you from time to time to see if you're paying attention. Though I don't see, mashallah, many of you have your cameras closed, and that's completely fine. Those that have their cameras on, inshallah, I'll be more, calling out your names. But maybe every once in a while, I'll call on a name who has their camera closed. You don't have to answer. No pressure whatsoever, inshallah. We're one big family here coming together for the love of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. Sayyidina Hudhaifa. He says, this is narrated by Imam Muslim. He said, قَامَ فِينَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ The Messenger of God, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi, stood up one day. And he gave a speech that started from Fajr and it ended at Maghrib. He only came down from the minbar to do his salah. He prayed Fajr. He spoke, gave a khutbah all the way till the time of dhuhr. He came down, salah of dhuhr. He prayed salat of dhuhr. He got back up on the minbar, continued his sermon, came down for the prayer of asr, got back up on the minbar, continued his sermon until salatul maghrib. And he told us about every fitna, every trial, every tribulation that would happen in the ummah until we enter Jannah, the people of Jannah enter Jannah, and the people of Jahannam enter Jahannam. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi explained to them everything. And Sayyidina Hudhaifa said, those that remember it, and those that forgot it, forgot it. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi knew about the trials that you and I were going to go through, and he was concerned about them. And he says, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi, in this closing hadith, عن ثوبان قال قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was once sitting amongst the companions and he said to them, يوشكو الأمم أن تداعى عليكم كما تداعى الأكلة إلى قصعتها. Subhanallah. Do many of you know this narration? If you can say yes to me, if you do here, that very soon, the nations are going to fall upon you. Very soon, he says, they're all going to fall upon you like people fall upon a banquet. You know, you ever go to a wedding and you're all sitting there in the seating area and then they have the food set up and then they say it's time to eat. What happens when that happens? Everyone jumps up and they all go rushing to get their food and there's like hundreds of people taking this, taking glob jobbing, taking the fattoush, taking the hummus, taking the baba ghanoush. And you get there, if you wait a little bit longer, there's no more kebab, there's like nothing left. It's like you can tell that an army has gone through this banquet and has eaten it all up. Have you experienced that? Have you seen that? Yeah, I think we've all experienced that. The Prophet, ﷺ, he draws that parable. And he said, very soon, that is going to happen to my ummah. Other nations are going to fall upon you and eat you up like people eat up a banquet. He said, very soon, 1,500 years ago. And the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim, they said, O Messenger of God, is it because we're few in number? Like, they couldn't understand. How could this possibly happen? He said, no. You will be many that day. But you will be, as one translation says, like the scum flowing down a torrent. You ever see a flood? What happens in a flood? You ever see these videos of when a dam breaks and a flood hits a town? And then all of a sudden, all of that water, what does it take with it? All the dirt, it takes like everything there goes with it. Everything. Like all the garbage, everything there. He said, you're going to be like that. And look at what he says. وَلَيَنْزَعَنَّ اللَّهُ مِنْ صُدُورِ عَدُوَّكُمْ الْمَهَابَةَ مِنْكُمْ وَلَيَقْذِفَنَّ اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ الْوَهْنَ. And he says, by Allah, Allah will remove from the chests of your enemies any admiration or fear or awe of you. Your enemies are not going to be scared of you, even though you're more in number than them. And Allah will throw into your hearts al-wahn. فَقَالَ قَائِلٌ, a man said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَمَا الْوَهْنُ, O Messenger of God, what is this wahn? قال صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ. He said, Allah is going to put in your hearts, in my nation's heart at that time, wahn. And this companion said, O Messenger of God, what is wahn? And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi says, the love of this dunya and the fear and the hatred of dying. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us the most perfected messenger, the most perfected of creation, so that we can always be attached to the divine reality of Allah. And if we find that our hearts are more attracted to this dunya and we are not ready for our meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then alhamdulillah that we're here to study the life of the Messenger of God, Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi, through this Sayyidina Umar series. I'll tell you why. Because we are going to see through this series how the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi lived, how he was, what he stood for, and what he was preparing you and I for. He wasn't here so you and I could just be people of the dunya. He was here to teach us how to be people of Allah, to be prepared to return to him at any moment. And for all of you out there listening, all of you young men and women, and all of you families, and all you people who are single and soon will have families, we need to grow and instill in our families these realities so that we can be people of Allah. And there is nothing stronger to teach us that than the life of the Messenger of God, Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. And we're going to take that journey together bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Ya Rabbi, Ya Kareem. We've reached the 1 hour. So what we're going to do, inshallah, next week, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to start by looking at the greatness, some of the fadail of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu arda'ah. Why are we looking at the story from the lens of Sayyidina Umar? And then at the end of episode one, please tell me, did you guys watch the episode with your families? Did you tell the truth? Did you watch the episode? Yes, I better see a bunch of yeses. You got to watch the episodes because we're going to be really referencing these episodes here. We all saw that at the end of episode one was when revelation started. I know episode one starts a little bit slow, but I promise you all the other episodes are going to have you there in your seats. Be sure. Part of this class is that it's muhim. Watch this with your families. The idea is that we're sitting at home with our friends and family and watching this because, number one, I want there to be family time. And if you don't have a family, alhamdulillah, I'm here as your family. You and I are watching it together across the world. But we have to have family time that's built upon Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. And number two, we have to utilize those episodes so that we can understand what's going to happen. So at the end of episode one, we saw the introduction of Waraqa bin Nawfal. We saw the introduction of Sayyidina Ali, and we saw the slow introduction of Sayyidina Umar. We're going to go over some background about Sayyidina Umar. We're going to go over Waraqa bin Nawfal. We're going to go over the entry point of Sayyidina Ali next week. And we are going to go over, of course, everything that happens in episode two. The other thing that I want to bring in to your attention, inshallah, as I mentioned, by Wednesday or Thursday, you'll receive an email that's going to have all the collection of the ahadith and the ayat that are there. Please tell your friends and family about this series. We want to bring ourselves together in love of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. May Allah forgive us our sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in all iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us as a community across the world in love of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi. I'll be with you for the first 6 or 7 weeks of this series. Then after that, Sheikh Hassan al-Ashhab is going to take over for the next 6 or 7 episodes. And then after that, we're going to have Imam Sheikh Yasir Fahmi take over for the next 6 or 7 episodes. And then after that, we're going to have our beloved Imam, my Imam here in Maryland, Imam Sami Zaharna, take over. And he's going to also get into the Shama'il of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. So we're in this journey for the long haul together. Are you guys ready for it? You ready to take this journey? You're in it for the long haul? I better see some responses here. Yeah, this is a family. Yes. Okay, yeah. Give me some energy. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullah anna kul khair. My salam to all of you across the world. Make dua for me. Make dua for your brothers and sisters in Palestine. Make dua for each other. Salam Allahi alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That Hina Qurayshi, that young boy that I see there, very nice to meet you. Your cat was very nice, mashallah. May Allah bless that young cat. Salam alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.